In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peculiar passage of the Gospel that St. Luke gives us today, where St. John appears to be unsure about the Lord. He had declared that the Lord was God. He had baptized the Lord, and then, after a little while, he'd been put in prison. And it appears externally that he was not sure, that maybe his faith had wavered a bit, because he sent his disciples to say, "Art thou the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now, the fathers say that St. John was actually being kind of cagey, sort of like wise as a serpent, because he was presenting a question to Christ so that Christ would reveal himself and tell of how one can know of him, and also giving our Lord an opportunity to then expound upon all related subjects, as our Lord is very good at doing. If you look at questions that the Lord was asked, his answer is never exactly about the question. His answer is about what the question should have been. It happens all the time. And here, he does the same thing. Now, even if John was not sure, I don't know, I'm not a seer of mysteries, perhaps his faith wavered a little bit. That makes him no less great. Elias was afraid of Jezebel. And then after 40 days, he was in the presence of God in the cave. So human weakness is no big deal to God. It matters if we have love for him, then we will find the way. So perhaps St. John, perhaps he wavered. I personally think he didn't. But if he did, he was in prison. He got lonely. He's a human being. That doesn't matter. What matters is that he did a great work, and the Lord praised him for being the greatest among the prophets. So when they ask who he is, Jesus basically gives them, not saying, "I am that guy." He didn't say that. He says, "Go and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind are receiving their sight, and the lame are walking, and the lepers are being cleansed, and the deaf are hearing, and the dead are being raised." And then he says the greatest thing last, "The poor are being preached the gospel." So this is teaching us something. Really, God's work in the world is evident. If you don't see it, then you don't have your eyes open and your ears open. Because God is present and God is working in the world. And a Christian should see God's hand in everything. And not need proofs, but just to see God working in everything. But then the Lord takes this question that John asked and expounds upon it and really answers the more important question. Is who is John, and what are the implications of what John preached concerning me? If you want to know who I am, you've got to live as I command. So he says, "What have you gone out into the wilderness to behold?" Referring to the crowds of people that were going out to see John and be baptized of him, some of them, not the Pharisees, not those that were proud, not the elite, but the poor people. That is, the poor in spirit, the repentant, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. They were being baptized by John, or by his disciples once he went into prison. So the Lord says, "What did you go into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by the wind?" I think this defines current day Christianity, and really a lot of ancient Christianity too, where people, their Christianity is weak. It's shaken by the wind like a reed. They want to know that they're saved, but they don't want to try to be saved. They don't want to struggle for virtue. St. John was preaching asceticism effort, repentance. They didn't want to hear that. The Pharisees didn't want to hear that. They wanted to hear laws and stuff. And since they were the arbitrators of those laws, they obviously were in, according to their doctrine. Then he asks, the Lord asks, after he asks, have you gone out to see a reed being shaken by the wind? How about a man being clothed in soft garments? No. These are the things of the world. The way of Christianity is struggle. Now, people misinterpret what asceticism is. All of us should be ascetics, but that doesn't mean all of us should stay up all night in vigil. Those of us that can, that's a good idea to do. Those of us who can go on very little food or other things, that's a good thing to do too. But the greatest asceticism is when you give your will over to God. That's asceticism. That is the ultimate asceticism. Everything else we do is in order to be able to do that ascetic feat of giving our will over to God. It's not an easy thing. We can't be a reed that shakes in the wind. We can't wear soft garments. That's what the Lord is telling us. Then when he praises St. John, I always think of a friend of mine who said with full sincerity that St. John was not in heaven. And I said, well, why would you believe that? He says, well, it says so right in the gospel. It says he's the greatest born of woman, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So using his arithmetic, if John is less than somebody in heaven, he can't be in heaven. I mean, that shows how far away sincere people can fall if they are not part of the church. That's a ridiculous idea, but that's what his church taught, that St. John wasn't saved. What an amazing idea. I guess he wasn't aware of all the appearances of St. John throughout history and how John has helped the church in so many ways, helped those in the church physically in the protection of the Theotokos. When the Theotokos appeared, we just celebrated it. She was with St. John the Baptist and St. John the Theologian. When St. Nicholas had slapped Arius and was deposed and was going to be finally permanently deposed the next day, the bishops had the vision. And who was in the vision? The Theotokos, St. John the Baptizer, and St. John the Theologian, who said he's one of us. We know these things, but people outside the church, they don't know these things. They're the missing pages that I told you that Father Moses Berry talked about. People don't know these things. But we do because it's part of our life. It's part of our family. It's who we are. And who we are is people that should struggle. We never should forget that. The world doesn't want to struggle. The world wants to make excuses. We just see just recently that the Latins are trying to make excuses, make people feel a little bit better about sexual perversion. They're sort of saying, well, you know, we can't change church doctrine, but we have to celebrate people who have sexual sins. And there's always a little bit of truth in a lie. The best lies are mostly true. Certainly, we love those who have sexual sins. Certainly, we accept them as human beings, as people made in the image of God. But we don't celebrate their sin. You don't celebrate the sin of a drunk. You try to get them to stop drinking. You don't persecute him, but you don't celebrate his sin. And that's being a reed shaken in the wind. That's what the Latins are now. They're a reed shaken in the wind. They had a little bit of, they made this document that they're kind of floating a trial balloon, and it didn't go over very well at all with many of the bishops. And so now they withdraw it and say it's a working document. A working document. That is one of the biggest lies of all time. There are no working documents. This is the way we really want it, but evidently you're not ready for it yet. So we'll withdraw it and then put it back a little bit later. And the world is slowly slipping into this complete chaos of more of immorality, because they don't understand exactly what the Lord is saying. Our Lord was preached about by St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist was not preaching about a reed being shaken in the wind, nor was he a reed shaken in the wind, nor did he wear soft garments, nor does he tell us to wear soft garments. We are to live according to the gospel, according to truth. It's getting harder and harder. But we must understand this. Now, the only way you understand this is not by reading the gospel and saying, okay, I understand what it says. That's not how you understand it. Because that kind of understanding goes away when there is trial, when there's difficulty, when maybe they'll put you in jail. I fully expect, actually, in my lifetime, if I live a normal lifetime, I expect that I'll probably go to jail. I hope I'm ready. Because the way the world is going, it's becoming illegal to preach the truth. So, how do we believe this? The only way to do it is to live it. That's it. Just knowing it doesn't help you. You got to live it. So you can't be a reed shaking in the wind. You got to be unafraid not only to declare the truth, but to live it. And then, indeed, God will fill you with everything. The gospel has some very sort of almost parenthetical statements, or sort of like transitional statements to the next thing, that are very important, that have always really struck me. One of them, my favorite one, or the one that strikes me the most, is the one where the Lord was in the Gergesenes and he had healed the demoniac, and the people came and asked him to leave because they were afraid, and because they didn't want their sins to be revealed, and they wanted to go back to raising pigs. And so what does it say? So he left them, left their coast. That was it. And those people had a light, and then the light was gone. So that same kind of statement is at the end of this gospel selection. It's really chilling and frightening that men could be so arrogant. It says, but the Pharisees and the doctors of the law were not baptized by him. Not baptized by John, that is. Because they set aside the counsel of God in regard to themselves. That's frightening. That's what's happening in our world. And that's what, to be honest, we do ourselves. We set aside the counsel of God in regard to ourselves when we choose to sin. We must be continually seeking the counsel of the Gospels and be trying to appropriate it to ourselves. It takes a change to do that. It's not automatic. Reading the Gospel, going to church, is not going to get you saved. Reading the Gospel, going to the church, and doing what is in the church and in the Gospel, that'll get you saved. That's chilling. We should never set aside the counsel of God in regard to ourselves. All of us have known people who have done this to their great detriment, even their death. God, deliver us from this. God, help us to not be a reed shaken in the wind, but to be strong. Not to wear soft clothing, but to be willing to struggle. And God will reward us. The world doesn't believe that. Most Christians don't believe that. But it's true. And it's a beautiful truth.